Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus. Tonight on Mythic Physique, I am proud to bring you Bold Spirits, Holistic Concepts with Michael DelRussi. Greetings and welcome, Michael. How are you?
Good evening, Hercules. It's great to be here.
The same here. It's been a while since we communicated. How are things?
Oh, we're hanging on. Karen is maybe moved to rehab finally in the next couple of days. It's been tough. It's been an ordeal, but we're praying and believing for some improvement in the long term. Thank you for asking.
I hope so. I'll give you a call tomorrow, and we could talk about that some more.
Thank you so much.
I'm excited by your choice of topic, selenium.
Well, I'm excited, too. I'd like to open up with a mission statement, if I can.
Sure.
It has been the calling of Bold Spirits, Holistic Concepts to expose to the listeners valid, ongoing research in nutritional, non-toxic therapies in terms of treating a variety of diseases and health challenges. We believe our major news outlets are deliberate in their lack of reporting in this area. Through experience, we know that the quality of human life can be improved and extended through this research. We present the evidence, and then the intuitive mind of each listener can continue with their own exploration and decision-making. And that is our belief. That has been our calling for almost over 35 years now. So I thank you for allowing me to share that with all of the Olympians that are listening tonight.
And I'm greatly honored that you're here and that you're sharing with us. So we learn from each other's journeys, and I've certainly learned a lot from you.
Well, the same here, certainly. I would like to make a statement, if I can, and just open up the channels of the opinion from both
sure.
you and the listeners. Over this past year, there have been a number of deaths in bodybuilding. And the physiques today are not something I'm particularly attracted to, the professional physiques. They seem overwhelmed with size above everything else. And from what we know, most of the professionals are dealing with some very dangerous chemicals, hormones, and what have you to achieve the look that evidently is popular today. But over the weekend, a former Mr. Olympia 2018 by the name of Sean Roden died of a sudden heart attack at the age of 46.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Yes, he had a tremendous physique. He looked great. Had the size and the cuts and the symmetry to go with it, and it's a shock to everyone in the bodybuilding world. The other deaths this year have been a gentleman by the name of John Meadows. He was both a trainer and a bodybuilder. He was age 49, a female bodybuilder by the name of Sophia Graham, died at age 27 in her sleep. A bodybuilder by the name of Orlando Gallucci from Europe. He died at age 38 from an apparent heart attack. He had just finished competing in 2021 NPC Championships. Phil Heron, who was fairly well known in the sport, both as a trainer and as a bodybuilder. He died at the age of 55. He was on dialysis. It's been a horrible, horrible year for bodybuilding. So
yes.
I would just like to, yes, in memoriam, I would like to pay tribute to these athletes. And I believe something should be done. I think both the professional league, the IFBB, and the amateur league, which is basically known as the NPC, are the two major forces in the sport. I think something definitely needs to be done. And while we aren't pointing fingers at anyone's particular personal lifestyle, we know that most of these deaths have been attributed in one way or another to the use of insulin, steroids, growth hormones, and other factors. So these are all good people, good athletes, and I'm hoping that in the near future, rules will be changed and we can save some lives, because it's been an awful year. While I personally, my affinity is leans toward the end of the physiques that I grew up with to admire and have admired. Yeah. Steve Reeves, Mark Forrest, Reg Park, all of the legends, Brad Harris. These are the physiques we admire and we believe are the great representatives of the classical Greek and Roman ideal.
Yes.
I'm just hoping that the athletes coming up will be, their lives will be spared by some of the rules changes that need to be made in, by these professional organizations.
Hey, wasn't there a movement a while back for natural bodybuilding and where they would actually compete natural without needing enhancements to build their bodies beyond the classical type?
There are organizations like that. Unfortunately, they were becoming popular during the 80s. They were, as of now, there are organizations like that, but they're few and far between. And most of the young people are, you know, they're shooting for the big time, if you will.
Right.
They're going for the, usually it's the NPC, National Physique Committee, and the International Federation of Bodybuilders, which beckons them. And, you know, the look that those judges are leaning toward, again, is just as much size as you can carry, no matter what. No matter what the cost, and the cost is great. And over the weekend, by losing Sean Roden, and you can see his photo on the internet and see just how, I mean, he looked fantastic. Unfortunately, that look comes with a dear price. I personally think that my instincts tell me that the heart suddenly is a major factor. You know, back in the 80s. The use of steroids, the main concern was malignancies, cancer,
right,
and what have you down the road. Nowadays, it seems as though the heart disease and heart abnormalities has taken front and center as the main danger in terms of using some of these drugs. I personally don't know what it is, but during this decade, it seems as though a heart disease has been the major culprit in most competitive bodybuilders today. So whatever they're using, whether it be HGH or insulin, or whatever the case might be, the heart seems to be the biggest factor here. So yes, there were organizations, there were natural bodybuilding organizations that were very popular in the 80s. Unfortunately, there's not much promotion for these organizations these days, which is unfortunate. I believe they are out there, and they do exist, but they're few and far between. So anyway, I wanted
to... That is a shame.
It is, because I am a fan of the sport. I'm not a fan of the sport like I used to be in the days of Frank Zane, who I thought was tremendous, with
yes,
his emphasis on symmetry. Larry Scott, the first Mr. Olympia. Harold Poole, I thought, even by today's standards, had one of the best, most muscular poses anywhere. He had such a unique-looking physique. Serge Nubret, who I believe should have won the 1975 Mr. Olympia, even though he didn't. He came in second. These were great physiques. These were great bodies. The level of excitement welled up within you just looking at their photos. And these were the legends, along with our Peplum stars, that certainly influenced my life. So hopefully the desired look will change. But for right now, the judges seem to be going for humongous physiques at all costs, and a dear price is being paid. So I wanted to share that with the athletes and the warriors and listeners tonight, and just let them know what what might be happening if they haven't been aware.
Well, thank you. I certainly wasn't aware of that, and thank you for bringing it to my attention. I am going to look into it more, but it is sad. Like you, my ideal body type is what I grew up with also, and it would be the peplum physique, you know, which sought to copy, as you pointed out, the Greco-Roman ideal that was encased in marble sculpture.
Mm-hmm.
That's where my mind looks for its ideals, and I like some of the newer bodybuilding too, but it just seems unnatural. It seems
Yes, it is. The development that they're expressing is just, yes, is beyond natural, to say the least.
And also because of Hollywood. A lot of secrets are coming out. Like a lot of people used to assume that the look that you get in the magazines or on the film is what you look like all the time. And now it's been revealed time and again that no, you will look like that for the time you're shooting, but you're not going to look like that all the time. You know, and if you look at some of the folks who are not posing or where they're not being filmed, they don't look anything like that. So that fantasy that people have of looking like the bodybuilders all the time is being shown to be not true. And I think that's a good thing as well.
Absolutely. And you're right. I mean, and even at this age, if speaking for myself, when I see some of these photos, there's a brief spirit of enthusiasm. Hey, I want to get there. And when I see that's an actor, Hugh Jackman, I believe is his name. He played yes, thank you. And he had his own workout program, which I said, look at that vascularity, look at the separation in the deltoids and what the chest. As you pointed out, rightfully so, I'm pretty confident he doesn't look like that all the time.
Right.
I mean, you know, but these are the images that are presented to us, and even at a mature stage of our lives, those of us who love that look and are seeking that look and have never stopped and never will stop, we get excited when we see the photos of some of these. You know, we can't help it. It's human nature. But you made an excellent point there, and you're certainly correct on that.
Where I'm sitting now is near where I work out every day. I have a bunch of dumbbells and kettlebells and things like that, and the X3 and so forth. I have like the ideal that I know I'm not going to reach, but it's there to strive for. And it's like I have Marvel Comics Hercules, and I have Dwayne The Rock Johnson's Hercules, and I have Lou Ferrigno's Hercules. And then I have Ray Park, and I have Steve Reeves, and all sorts of statues from ancient Greece and so forth. So they surround me all the time, and I push toward the ideal. But it's the journey that it's like my prayer every day. You know, I spend some time trying to make myself more divine in that way as well.
Well, I get excited just hear you describing all of this. You know, there's a childlike wonder. And those of us who are so inspired by this, and I'm listening to you to describe all that you were surrounded by in your temple, if you will. And it's a lot of fun because I'm listening to you, and the enthusiasm is welling up inside of me, and I'm sure the other warriors and trainers out there and physique enthusiasts feel the same way just listening to you. It never dies.
No.
It never dies. No matter how long we may live, it will never die. With that journey will always be there for us.
And it's an exciting thing, and it's a healthy thing. And as well as the working out, there is also the diet. You know, what are you putting into your body? What does your body need?
Right.
And you spent a lot of time studying that and sharing what you've learned. And all of the different techniques that we've experimented with and what works at any given time. It is a journey, and it's joyous, and it's good to have companions along the way as well.
Oh, it's great to be able to share with your associates and your fellow trainers and warriors on that journey. And sometimes it's not easy because, you know, we live in an age where every two blocks there's a gym and there's a fitness center. And I respect anyone who adheres to a regular fitness regimen. I respect them for their diligence and their discipline. But when it comes to that next step, those of us who are seeking that classical muscular separation, that destination that links the mythical figures with mortality, if you will, and we're trying to meld to do. That's our journey, to meld the ideal vision of what a physique can look like with the mortal flesh that we're blessed with. So it's that next step that those of us who are seeking that is so exciting, still so unique in many ways. So while I respect all individuals that are participating in physical fitness and regular training, it's that special group that you've just described, that be with those who feel the same way or trying to achieve that classical Greek look. That's the part that's even more exciting, to be able to share with those individuals our own passion for that goal.
Oh, most certainly so. And again, it's a journey, and fortunately it's a shared journey. So it's a very important part of my life, and I'm glad that it's so. And I wouldn't have met you and a lot of other people if that weren't so. So I'm very grateful for it.
Oh, I feel so much the same way. There was a time in my life back in the 80s, I would say, give or take a decade, when that passion was still there, but I really I couldn't find anyone, frankly, a friend or associate that had that passion. I couldn't find anyone. Yeah, they knew about this and they knew about peplum films and all, but no one I could really share and communicate with in terms of training strategies and techniques and all of the things you've just described. And then somehow you and I discovered each other. And I was just absolutely over the rainbow with the opportunity to share with others, sharing with you and your fellow Olympians, that passion and desire, and most of all, the knowledge and the awareness of the great peplum films of our era. There were very few people out there that I could talk to about these things. So then I met the family. I met the Olympian family, thanks to you and the channels that you've opened up to us, where we can share the wonder of what these individuals, these athletes, these the people brought to us in terms of just how exciting seeking that classical ideal can be. It's been a great experience, and from now till the end of my days, I know it will be one of the major glories in my life, and it will never leave me.
I'm grateful, too, that we managed to get some of the heroes of that journey on board, like George Helmer and Dave Dowling from the Steve Reeves International. They've been on the show numerous times, and I just spoke with them recently. Mm-hmm. We're going to do a Zoom show soon. And we have Bill Hinburn of Super Strength Training, who certainly kept the fire burning all these years through his company. Mark Forrest is actually in some of the groups that we have.
Really?
Yes, yes.
I've admired his physique greatly.
Yeah, Mark Forrest is awesome. I've spoken to him on the phone a few times. We have a mutual friend. So he's in some of the Sword and Sandals cinema groups. You know, he doesn't say very much, but he's there. And it's amazing. And I almost got to meet Sergio Siani, or Alan Steele, as he's better known. One of the people in the groups knew him and was going to hook me up. and with his email address, and I was going to try to get him on the show or at least thank him for all the inspiration he's offered me. And then he died that week, so I didn't get a chance to connect with him. But it's been amazing. Some of these people are still around, and they should know how much of a difference they made in our lives. So I'm trying to do that as well.
A tremendous difference in my life. And our next podcast, The God's Willing, I'd like to share my story. I did share it once before, and just how they have impacted me in my life. And it's something that, you know, it's something that will be with me the rest of my life, and how they impacted me during my school days when I wasn't exactly amongst the popular crowd, if you will, and what their spirit did for me to rise up and gain confidence and be counted. So I'd like to share that at some future date. I owe it all to them.
I would love that.
I owe it all to them, and I owe it all to the films and their presence in my life. So I wonder, I haven't seen any photos of Mark Forrest these days. Have you seen any photos of him? I've looked.
His photo on his Facebook page shows him as an older man.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I haven't seen.
Again, he's a wonderful guy to talk to. He's like a Renaissance man. He's way, way more than what he shared with us in the cinema. And he's also deeply a religious man as well. I enjoyed my conversations with him, and our mutual friends told me a lot about him also. But he's very approachable, and he's done a lot of amazing things, and I think he's still doing amazing things as well.
That's great. Is he living in the States?
Yes, he is.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. Well, I'll have to see if I can look him up recently and go to his Facebook page and
send him a friend request. Yes,
I'd like to see what he's doing these days.
Years ago, I got to meet Lou Ferrigno a few times, and he was very nice, too. Mm-hmm. We had a nice couple conversations. I doubt that he remembers me. This was long ago. But he was very nice when I met him. And David Carradine and I got along very well. We bumped into each other like at least a dozen times.
Wow, that's exciting. Lou probably had the most powerful, I would say probably the most powerful looking of all the modern day Hercules physiques, I would imagine.
Yeah, his physique was unbelievable, and it still is. Last time I met him, he was still a huge, muscular man.
Mm-hmm. He's kept himself in pretty good shape over the years.
And he's still making movies occasionally, which is good.
Yes, he is. He's still active there. I would like to share some principles of healing at the cellular level. We've shared this many times. And one of our callings is, of course, besides staying healthy on a daily basis and doing what we can to prevent oxidation and some of the other aspects of aging, healing on the cellular level, we feel is vitally important. And it's an innovative approach to helping anyway what we believe a process that we can move along in our own private individual lives in terms of just staying healthy and perhaps adding years to our lives. And I'd just like to name a number of those processes if I can.
Sure.
Bioenergetics is one, which is a study of the transformation of energy in living organisms. Mitochondrial science, this is an area I feel is on the brink of mainstream exposure when it comes to extending lives and preventing disease. And I know you and I both have shared our knowledge in this area, and the science is there. The science is there. Mitochondria produce the energy necessary for the cells' survival and functioning. And we both know that to enhancing the mitochondria, with certain target nutrients, it may be it can enliven the entire human organism. And we feel that the science here and the benefits are unlimited in this area. ATP is the principal molecule for storing energy in the cells, and that's part of what makes it all happen. And finally, quantum healing. It's inside and outside the body and the energy that exists there. Enhancing energy can produce healing physiology as well as spiritually, because the right thoughts as well as exercise will produce endorphins. These are neurochemicals which appear to have very positive effects on the brain and the body. So see, these are some of what we call health at the cellular level, the terms mm-hmm. and principles. And I think they're important aspects to remember in terms of not only overall health, but again, on a daily basis, is there something we can do to actually slow the aging process? Well, I believe there is. I believe it starts at the cellular level. The science is there. And I'm hoping this process receives more exposure in the mainstream media in the future. It is coming along. It's coming along slowly. But I'm hoping for a breakthrough experience in that science shortly for the benefit of all.
What's the resistance to it? Why are people resisting these forms of exploration into our health?
I just believe it. Just I don't know if it's so much resistance as it hasn't been enough direction and attention to the research. I can tell you that my own family physician, as an example, I've been sharing with him the potentials of IP6, which we have discussed in the past.
Yes.
And I've shared with him some material, and I'll never forget the day I was visiting the office not too long ago, and he looked at me and he said, you know, I was reading about it. He said, it's very, very interesting. And since that time, and he's a younger man and a great guy, just not only a superb physician, but just a great person. Since that time, he has he's evidently incorporating IP6 into his program. And I just spoke to him. Yeah, I just spoke to him a couple of days ago, and he wanted to know the best ways to take it. And so I shared with him the knowledge I've acquired in terms of the best way to take it is on an empty stomach and away from your other supplements. And I brought him some a good volume of material on it. And he's very excited about IP6 and maitake mushroom as well. So you know what? When you ask that question, I think it's just, frankly, a lack of knowledge. They have not taken the time to explore mitochondrial enhancement as perhaps they should. But, you know, it's whole body invigoration. It's whole body right. vitality. It's as we've said, is seeking our own personal golden fleece of vitality. It's there. And I do predict that going to become more and more well known as time goes on. And you're completely correct in asking that question. And I continue to ask that question because it can lead to total body healing, total healing of the human organism. It starts there. And I believe it will become more well known in the immediate future. So I have to thank you for putting that question forth, because I think everybody needs to be exposed to that question and then seek the answers. There's less than a handful of target nutrients that can do what we're discussing right now, enhance the mitochondria and the entire human organism. If every organ in the body is being enhanced through the stimulation of mitochondria and healthy cell environment, what can we accomplish? What can be done? Every listener out there now, everybody within the sound of our voices, there's a new area of healing. It's a breakthrough area, but it exists and the science is there. So I'm hoping that in the future, our wonderful mainstream media, who quite frankly, I have very little, let me be honest, because I'm here to be honest, very little respect for, because I've seen what's happened over the 2 years of COVID. I've seen what has happened, and let's hope, nevertheless, the nutritional warriors, those warriors out there, will continue to make some of this knowledge known.
I've heard from a lot of people that there are nutritional ways, including and especially yourself, but I've heard from a lot of people that a lot of the nutrients can help mitigate and protect, but that, as you said, too, they're not made common knowledge for people to take it as a prophylactic measure.
Absolutely, and it's unfortunate, but on the positive side, I think things are changing, and mitochondrial science will become more popular and will become more well-known, hopefully, by the general public. There's nutrients that we take on a daily basis to help help us stay healthy, but then there's target nutrients, and these target nutrients can have an even greater effect. And number one, staying healthy. Number two, can we slow that ever-present process of aging? So I'm very hopeful. I have to be hopeful for that's going to happen in the near future.
I'm starting IP6 again tomorrow. I took it out of the cabinet downstairs. I took a break from vitamins for a while. I do that periodically, and then I start them up in different intervals. So it's IP6's turn tomorrow.
Well, I'm excited to hear that because I think it's in many ways, as the Dr. Shamuddin, who pioneered the research here, I believe he's from India, who wrote the book on IP6, as he said, it may very well be the nutrient of the decade. I believe it is the nutrient of many decades. When people can look it up on the internet, you will virtually find nothing negative to said about this nutrient, even on the most conservative websites, if you will. No negativity. That it has great promise, but more research has to be done. Well, you know what? They've been saying that for 20 years.
Wow.
And still more. It's 20 years they're saying it. And I talked to a naturopath in New York recently, and she has a very, very superb reputation in terms of what she's been doing. She's a doctor and a naturopath, and she said to me point blank, Michael, that's a good question. I don't know why more research is not being done on IP6. I don't know why. So we, those of us who are fairly well-versed in alternative therapies, we know why. We've seen the independent studies and research, and I'm glad, and I encourage my doctor, and I'm glad to hear that you're right on top of stuff, and you're adding IP6 to your program. That certainly makes me excited.
Yeah, I've started taking zinc again and selenium again, so they're daily now, and IP6 is coming next. And I think I shared with you once before, some of the things that used to work reliably are no longer working as reliably, like Ocuvite or lutein used to work wonders for my eyes. And it was proven time and again for years. If I stopped taking it, my vision would get blurred. If I started taking it, my vision would not be blurred. And then recently, the cycle seems to have reversed itself. If I take too much lutein, my vision becomes blurred. And if I don't take it as frequently, my vision is fine. So I don't know what changed that, but something changed there.
Well, our bodies do change on a yearly basis because our cells are constantly being renewed. But I'll tell you what I've discovered. I'm continuing my research. I'm going through research papers right and left. And here's what's interesting, and I get excited just talking about it. It appears that enhancement of the mitochondria through mainly one of the main nutrients for this is CoQ10 seems to be, it's far more, we thought in the beginning CoQ10, we know it strengthens the heart muscle. We know it's great for cardiovascular, especially if you're on statin drugs. Most cardiologists worth their knowledge now recommend take CoQ10 along with your statin. But here's what I'm finding very exciting. CoQ10 now, it's being discovered, can enhance kidney function, can enhance liver function. Yes, it can slow the process of glycation. We've discussed that in the past where protein carbohydrate molecules, and carbohydrates are being tainted through the free radical process. Seems to slow that process down. What seems to be happening, CoQ10 has been shown to be good in terms of healthy gums and teeth.
Yeah.
So again, you know what? Every organ in our body has literally trillions of cells. What can we do from the standpoint in terms of approaching healing and in terms of whole body therapy? We know even in cancer, they finally discovered immunotherapy. But there are drugs involved there, and they're targeted. What happens if we engage in immunotherapy from a whole body process? And again, these superb physicians, oncologists and what have you, may not be focusing in on that area because they're not fully aware of these natural substances that can do these things. So I'm finding that CoQ10 its healing potential goes far beyond the heart. I just read a recent study, and I put my friend Karen on CoQ10 twice a day, that CoQ10, and these are independent, verifiable studies, can enhance kidney function by 11%.
Wow.
That may not seem like much, but let's examine the possibilities for the future. The dosages matter. Other things, arginine has also been shown to enhance the mitochondria. Alpha lipoic acid. It's just four or five supplements that can really do the job. So it's interesting that you should mention that because I think, again, whole body immunotherapy, have they bothered to look at that potential? Whole body immunotherapy. I'm proud that they have finally looked at the immune system as an example to fight cancer. It looks like it took them forever to get to that point. Unfortunately, they use certain drugs to achieve that. And they have some side effects of their own. And so future date, we'll discuss with that. It's important that the public know all of these issues. They're familiar with all of these issues. So I believe whole body immunotherapy is possible. And how is it possible? With some of the natural substances we're discussing here tonight.
Wow. And as you pointed out, it's a handful of nutrients. It's not... you can start with any one of them and just keep going.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And one of the nutrients I'd like to mention tonight is a micronutrient, and that is selenium. Selenium, along with vitamin E, have been way back, even four or five decades ago, studies have shown that these two together can help the body to produce glutathione. Glutathione taken on its own for some strange reason, which not too many can explain, doesn't really do the job. But when you combine selenium and vitamin E together, they help to produce glutathione, which turns out to be one of the most powerful antioxidants in creation. And for some reason, selenium and vitamin E are superb at achieving this. I remember reading studies back in the 70s, that especially in the Midwest, where the soil was rich in selenium, many of your chronic diseases were much less as opposed to other parts of the country. And scientists and researchers did manage to put two and two together and see that there may be great benefit in the consumption of selenium. And I'd like to share some of the benefits of that with you if I can. Selenium's principal function is to inhibit the oxidation effects. It has been known as a vital antioxidant, especially when combined with vitamin E. It protects the immune system by preventing the formation of free radicals. Selenium and vitamin E have been shown to act synergistically to aid in the production of antibodies and to help to maintain a healthy heart and liver. Selenium is needed for proper pancreatic function and tissue integrity. That may be important for diabetics. When combined with vitamin E and zinc, It may also provide relief from an enlarged prostate, along with lycopene, salt palmetto, standardized extract, and beta-cystosterol. And as a side note to that, all of the nutrients I just mentioned are really important and vital to a healthy prostate. And if you're going to take, as a reminder, if you're going to take salt palmetto, there's no question that it works every bit as good as some of the drugs that are prescribed for BPH. Always make sure that you buy the standardized extracts when you're buying herbs. Whole leaf herbs simply do not work as well. But lycopene is also shown to be very protective, not only of the prostate, but of the breasts, and be effective. It can be effective in some of the other issues that women experience, especially hormonal issues. So we know that the carotenoids have a great level of protection in these areas. Selenium deficiency has been linked to cancer and heart disease. Now, for the food sources of selenium are nuts, brewer's yeast, brown rice, chickpeas, dairy products, onion, salmon, seafood, molasses, wheat germ, and garlic. All of those are food sources that can be where you can acquire a good amount of selenium. As early as the 1960s, studies have shown that selenium combined with vitamin E and other antioxidant compounds slowed the aging process in laboratory animals at the 23rd Annual Geriatric Council in Toronto. And that was a major conference in the 1970s. So way back in the 1970s, it was shown that these compounds, selenium and vitamin E specifically, can slow the process of aging in laboratory experiments. And this is another thing, quite frankly, that, you know, again, I become so upset and disturbed by the present environment in which these nutrients, as we continue to face a virus that really, notwithstanding what you hear about the success of the vaccine, appears to be more or less far from in control. We have these nutrients that can protect and offer us defense in terms of virus. Yes, in terms of virus and immune defense. Nothing is being said. And here we have studies way back in the 1970s that indicated as much. Major and compelling studies as to the healing benefit of selenium have been ongoing. A Dr. Larry Clark of the California Cancer Center in Tucson led a team of 33 scientists connected with 23 organizations in 7 clinical trials involving 1,312 participants. The trials convincingly showed that selenium supplements reduced the incidence of various cancers, reduced the incidence of various cancers, as well as mortality by 23%. The clinical trial found that 200 micrograms of selenium taken daily reduced the overall cancer rate by 52%.
Wow, that's a substantial number.
Yeah, it's very impressive. By the way, 200 micrograms seems to be the right amount of selenium to offer in all of these areas. 200 micrograms seems to be the perfect amount. 200 micrograms have been used in study after study after study. The U.S. National Cancer Institute sponsored a double-blind study conducted in China involving 75,000 volunteers. This trial showed that 50 micrograms of selenium, 30 international units of vitamin E, and 15 milligrams of beta-carotene reduced the incidence of cancer by 9%, and the total cancer death rate reduced the total cancer death rate by 13%. Lung cancer death rate was reduced by 45%, and stomach cancer deaths were reduced by 21% within a 5-year span. The study also found that selenium combined with vitamin E, and here we are again, that tag team, seems to have the most profound effect on most disease. And again, I find that interesting because I used to shop at when I first became so enamored with bodybuilding back in the early 70s. There was a health store, Wonder Health Foods in Bloomfield. They were pretty well known. And a combination of selenium and vitamin E, even then, Lionel Pauling had that, yes, in terms of fighting both heart disease, but most of all, metastatic diseases. Selenium is largely responsible for the production, I just mentioned this earlier, of glutathione in the body, a primary antioxidant that is found in every living cell. And I had just mentioned this a bit earlier. Studies examining the relationship between dietary selenium intake and risk of various cancers have shown that low selenium intake is associated with higher cancer rates. Based upon countless clinical studies, 200 micrograms of selenium, along with 400 international units of vitamin E, which I think is just about the ideal amount when it comes to vitamin E, provide a powerful antioxidant protection within the human body. All of that research, dozens and dozens of studies since the 1970s have shown that selenium combined with vitamin E can have a powerful protective effect on the human organism. So I hope everyone listening will do their own research, then through bicameral mind, combining both creative and logical thinking, come to their own conclusions in terms of how they might want to integrate these two essential nutrients into their programs if they haven't already.
I'm going to bring up my vitamin E since that works so well with selenium, since I'm taking selenium. So I'll make that change tomorrow.
And I'm excited to hear that you are taking selenium because it's so essential. Some breakthrough studies are been made available, and I'd like to share a few of them with the audience if I can.
Of course.
While we still have the time, one recent study: eating more olive oil may lower heart disease risk. Higher consumption of olive oil is associated with a lower risk of heart disease, according to a study published in the American College of Cardiology. The study included more than 61,000 women. And the nurses' health study in more than 31,000 men from the health professionals in a follow-up study. Both studies lasted 24 years. The results showed that people with a higher people with a higher intake of olive oil had a 14% lower risk of cardiovascular disease and a 19% lower risk of coronary heart disease compared to those who consume less. So we might take that study into consideration. Another interesting breakthrough study is vitamin E, zinc, and lung damage. This is interesting, of course, in light of what we know about COVID-19. Free radicals are implicated in lung disease. Vitamin E and zinc were compared to find out which protects the lung cells better. Zinc was more effective than vitamin E in preventing lung damage. I want everyone to listen to that loud and clear. Our former president, when he received remdesivir as one of the treatment drugs, also received zinc. While vitamin E protects lung cell membranes against oxidative damage, zinc provides broader base antioxidant protection with specific protection of lung proteins. That's according to the Journal of Free Radical Medicine. Reflection, in terms of lung protection, I would add that fish oil and low-dose aspirin to that mix. That's my own personal reflection.
I think the reason, yes.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I take that. Low-dose aspirin, I take maybe five times a week with my morning vitamins. I used to take it every day. But then I read several studies that it doesn't play well with vitamin C. So now I have them at opposite sides of the day. In 2 days, I'll skip the vitamin C. In 2 days, I'll skip the aspirin. And this way, they don't interact poorly with each other.
Well, I think it's wise to do that. Again, you're using your bicameral mind and your own personal instincts to make those changes. I do much of that myself. I think the main reason why some recommend not taking vitamin C with aspirin, is because of the acidity and the fact that it just might affect the stomach in an adverse way. And that's especially true for those who are either on blood thinners or may have some digestion issues. So whatever the case, you're right to separate them. The other reasons that I'm personally recommending fish oil and low-dose aspirin in the mix, as studies have shown that fish oil and aspirin combined can slow the growth of lung cancer.
Oh, wow.
And I'll share some, studies with the listeners concerning that in the future. You know, one of my all-time favorite, I think I am still mourning his passing. One of my, in fact, my all-time favorite contemporary vocalists. He had an outstanding voice, and one I think will never be duplicated, was a singer by the name of B.J. Thomas. You may or may not be familiar.
Yes.
And he recently passed this year, only 9 weeks after being diagnosed with lung cancer. It devastated me. He had vocal ability like no other in terms of pop music, in my opinion. I was a fan of his from actually the age of 16. When Hooked on a Feeling became a hit, those some people in the audience might be familiar with that. He made some tremendous gospel and spiritual music, and I often sat back and contemplated, had he known about some of the natural remedies, could that process have been slowed down, if not reversed completely? But now we know there's studies that fish oil and low-dose aspirin can slow the growth of lung cancer. Will your average oncologist be aware of this? Frankly, candidly, based on my experience, it's unlikely. So again, it's important to have this knowledge. A new study on arginine. Arginine may alleviate age-related memory impairment. Arginine induces the production of nitric oxide, which performs a various function in the body. There's evidence that nitric oxide plays an important role as a brain cell messenger in learning and memory. In this study, participants were shown to have decreased nitric oxide production and had significant memory impairment. They were given arginine for 6 months, and after that time, 8 out of 10 reported significant clarity of memory and a stark improvement and overall conceptual capacity. This is from the Behavioral Brain Research Journal. And we also know beetroot is very powerful in this area.
I'm picking beetroot, yes.
So I wanted to share these studies with the Olympians tonight. And I think this information is invaluable for them to continue their research on everything we're discussing and then follow their own divine intuition onto where to go from there. But there are not too many who are exposing the public to these studies. So it's those of us who are called to this goal to do so.
Well, thank you for doing so. And in closing for today, for someone to get started in mitochondrial and quantum level healing, what vitamins, again, and minerals would you suggest they start researching and experimenting with?
To stimulate healthy cellular response and to maintain it on a daily basis, I would certainly recommend, number one, and the research is still so exciting, CoQ10, arginine, alpha-lipoic acid are the three main ones. Beyond that, L-carnitine is also important. So we're looking at L-carnitine, alpha-lipoic acid, CoQ10 as the three major, and arginine as the major. So we're talking about three or four supplements, Target supplements, to take them on their journey to cellular health and vitality and mitochondrial function simulation on a regular basis. The studies are showing conclusively that stimulate cellular health and your whole body may benefit.
So it's an easy journey to begin, and there's a lot of information on the internet. So if anybody wants to take this healthy journey with Michael's opening our eyes to various areas of research and our own ability to look things up, this sounds like a very worthwhile and exciting journey.
Absolutely. And I'm excited to see the public at large and our wonderful listeners research these supplements and see for themselves the potential that lies within.
And now I'm going to prioritize my arginine. And again, I'm going to take out my vitamin E and start combining them with the aspirin.
Absolutely.
And with
selenium
for the better effect.
Absolutely. Great potential lies there. I'm certain of that.
And one more thing, getting a little off topic, but I started a bunch of new shows on UFOs. So when I call you tomorrow, I will let you know what slots are free, and let's schedule something, because that's an area that you're very learned and experienced in. So I'd love to start talking about those things again as well.
Well, thank you for opening up the channels for us to share what we know and what we have yet to learn. And that's so exciting. Thank you for revealing that to us.
And thank you for being so generous with your knowledge and with your quest and with all you've learned along the way. Michael, it's always a joy, always a pleasure. Give my love to Karen, and I will give you a call tomorrow.
Thank you so much. We're thrilled to be with the Son of Zeus. Thank you so much for that. Thank you so much for that.
You're very welcome. And thank you. And thank everybody who tuned in tonight, whether you phoned and you're in our queue, whether you clicked on a link and found yourself here, or whether you'll be exploring this later on demand. Until next time, this is all of us wishing all of you joyous journeys and amazing adventures. And I will close the show, as I often do, with If You Can Dream by Virginia Ackley, because it says it all. Good night, everyone.
If you can dream, if you can fly, then your heart can touch the sky. But only if you can dream. If love is true and love is real, pain and sorrow soon will heal. But only if you can dream. Dream till you wake. Dream till you feel. Dream till you know it. Dream till it's real. If you can dream, then you can be bound by love and yet be free. But only if you can dream. When love and trust are deep and fair, there is nothing yours heart won't dare. But only if you can dream.